This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Ooh, welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sack of the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Happy Conference Championship Weekend.
Happy Conference Championship Weekend. How are we feeling, Kramer?
I'd say about 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. Why only a 6?
You're going to notice in the show, I got this neck thing going on, so I'm going to have to use the full like Chris Collinsworth chair rotation to talk to you.
All right.
We're gonna, the guest, Sean. So yeah, 6 out of 10, but I'm playing through the pain.
Okay, playing through the pain.
Yeah. Great week. I mean, welcome to the Jared Stidham show. 3 hours of hot Jared Stidham talk.
Yeah, we are on the Stidham bandwagon. Stiddy, as he likes to be called.
I was on Follow the Money earlier, and I mentioned to the great Paul Howard that I might be overweight on Denver Broncos anytime touchdown props. He said no such thing. So I appreciate the confidence.
It is the problem with only two games. You're like talking to yourself, I got to have some props. I got to have some touchdowns. And then you're like, wait, they're all from the same game. I got to diversify a little bit. But it's up to diversify. Only got two games.
Also, the average price on these anytimes is like 7-8 to 1.
Yeah,
so
it's, well, especially for the Broncos who are big dogs. Circa, and it seems like the market, Ryan, Circa now has the Broncos down to 4. And a lot of places I'm seeing down to 3.5.
I do have a report from the Northeast.
Okay, let's go.
5.5 still being offered in the Rhode Island, Massachusetts area.
Okay.
So it could be a regional thing, but yeah, it does. I would say the general consensus is the sharps are on the Rams and the Broncos.
Yeah.
And I think that's gotta be why. I mean, I'm sure they've taken some money on the Broncos, the confidence from Sean Payton. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I was able to snag a 4. What I should say is I got earlier in the week, I got down at 5.5.
Yeah, you got,
I did see some sixes on the screen. I didn't jump fast enough, but
come on, this is touting 101. You always got the best number.
Yeah. Sorry.
And then
I got the paper ticket on the
Seattle. It feels like stuck here at 2.5. Do you think we see some movement between now and kickoff either in Seattle Rams, New England, Denver? I thought if anything, Denver, Pats opened at 5. I thought it would go up a little bit. If anything, it's gone the other way. Where do you think these things close at?
It does seem like, how could the Broncos line get any shorter would be my thought. And then
under 4 would be crazy.
My other thought is as the limits increase and we get closer to kick, I know most books probably would prefer the Rams to the Seahawks just based on where the futures prices were throughout the season. And so I guess that's the part that's really intriguing. The money must really be coming in on the Rams, because you would think there'd be an attempt to balance out with a 3, but I guess it's too, the books would feel too vulnerable dropping their pants and offering a 3.
Well, and that's interesting.
So it probably doesn't move then. If it hasn't moved yet, why would it move?
And I know just from talking to Chris Wilburton, a.k.a. Big Balls, and Derek, that they have a lot of Seattle liability in the futures market, but yet their price is still 2.5. So maybe they don't want to hang that 3 because they're worried about taking too big of a, I don't know what the thought is on hanging.
Well,
it
creates a problem where you can get hurt both ways. I would imagine. Yeah. Just in general, it seems like we're stuck at 2.5.
Well, and that's interesting too. Cause normally the book wants the favorite to win and the dog to cover, a la the Indiana game, the national championship. Their ideal outcome was Indiana win 1-6, and that's what ended up getting home. But in the case of Rams Seattle, I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
Yeah, I mean, again, the gambling 101 teaches you to take the 2.5 for a reason.
But
the market's telling you what to do, right?
Well, and then there's also, I was talking to our buddy Adam Rosenberg. He's going to be on later in studio, giving out some of his favorite props, joining us for Sports Betting Blackjack. We also got college hoops, because as football winds down, we got to pick up the college basketball. CJ Sullivan joining us, talking ladders and some prop bets. And of course, our first any and many touchdown bets. But talking to Rosenberg, I reiterated, I go, yeah, it's I think the public is loving this game. That means more to me when there's a full slate and everyone's loading up on one team and one side. When there's only two games, it's like, yeah, I'm not making my case just off fading the public.
Yeah. It's like the Super Bowl. Yeah, the public's like, on both sides.
Well, yeah, it's a Super Bowl. What are they? Everyone's going to be on. You got a 50-50 shot.
I talked to some Rams fans. They're on the Rams. Yeah, okay. And then I talked to some Seahawks fans, and they're on the Seahawks. So,
yeah, I haven't heard, at least in the content game, Ryan. And again, maybe we're insulated with just talking to other people in content or, you know, on shows and stuff. It does feel like people who host shows, people who give out gambling stuff, they certainly like the Broncos.
And the Rams.
Oh, really? You're hearing a lot of Rams.
I think both of those. I bumped into a friend of the program, Chris Massaro. He was poo-pooing our position on the Rams or on the Seahawks. So I you know, sharps like
Seahawks
him.
Seahawks is a super square spot, but yeah, we'll get into it. To me, it's about the situation spot. The third road game coming off OT and one day less of rest. And just looking at their schedule these past few weeks, Seattle at home, like, to me, it's such a situation spot more than just the matchup itself.
Yeah, but, you know, in that same conversation, he also liked the Pats. So, I don't.
Well, he's a huge Pats fan. So, of course, he's going to have.
He's also a sharp. So, does he count as sharps being on?
Chris Massaro. He won the Friday Football Invitational, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it turns out. I did get confirmation from Matt Eumanns. We're not eligible.
Okay, because we were worried that they didn't like us, and then that's why. Hey, we thought we liked you, and then we never got the invite. Kept checking the email, but apparently Visa Notes not eligible.
We'll have to see if there's a part-time stipulation there.
The big news besides the games coming up in the National Football League is the Bills firing their head coach Sean McDermott, which was not crazy news. It did feel like this was a year where the Bills had to get over the hump or, you know, they're going to refresh things. Surprising that they chose Sean McDermott to axe and then keep the GM, but
promote the GM
out of all things. And then there's that really weird owner GM press conference. They throw Keon Coleman under the bus. They throw Sean McDermott under the bus. They also blame the refs, kind of a disaster. And now some of the people they're interviewing for their head coaching, including Philip Rivers, right? Did you see Philip Rivers getting interviews for head coaching?
He does have high school experience coaching his kids, which is,
well,
you know,
and he was in on the film meetings for the Colts.
I mean, in fairness, that's how Coach Prime grew to prominence. Started off by coaching his kids, so you know maybe he's qualified.
This is insane, Ryan. Online petition to reinstate Sean McDermott has how many signatures do you think they're up to, Bills fans?
There are a lot of them. I'll say 100,000.
60,000 people have signed up to say, hey, we want Sean McDermott back. We're going to do a full breakdown later on the show. Bills next head coaching odds. That's a fun market to attack. Steelers need a head coach. The one that's also kind of surprising to me is the Raiders. The Raiders have the first pick overall. You think they would be on top of getting one of these coaches, but no.
Yeah. It seems like we normally would have some of this stuff resolved already.
Yeah.
Does it not? I know in the past, the bye week was a good time to interview people you might want to interview from teams that are still playing, but they've changed those rules. So you don't have that delay anymore. I mean, I guess I'm really shocked. It seems like, you know, the longer you wait, the more likely you are to not get a good coach. So I saw Cardinals fans excited about the idea of Sean McDermott.
Yeah, and they were certainly excited, at least the Cardinals fans I know, to get rid of Drew Petzig. He got another OC job. Now we're seeing this new thing where Mike McDaniel, Adam Schefter is expected to be the OC of the Chargers. Not so fast. He's also interviewing for the Bills' head coaching job. So he's locked up an OC job. It's almost like a safety school. All right, I got my application in. I'm accepted as the OC, but I'm still going to try and get a head coaching job.
Dable's done the same thing with Robert Saleh in Tennessee.
Okay, so he basically has the OC job in Tennessee if he's not hired as the Bills head coach.
Now, the Tennessee thing's weird because I saw the Tennessee beat kind of confused, but their announcement, their press conference isn't for another like 3 or 4 days. And so maybe all that gets sorted out, but maybe they're waiting for that to get sorted out. Who knows? It strikes me the coaching cycle, maybe because there's been so many coaches too. We probably should go back to 2022 and see how long it took, but it just anecdotally, it feels like some of these teams are dragging their feet.
Yeah. And
the Senior Bowl is going on right now. Like who are you sending to the Senior Bowl?
Certainly not your head coach. You don't have one if you're the Raiders.
I understand it's more of a scouting thing, but coaches are always down there. I don't understand what some
and then on top of it, you want to compare it to college admissions. The news comes out. Apparently the Browns being an analytically driven organization. Show me the analytics on Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Show me the analytics around the Deshaun Watson trade and that being a good idea. I would love to see the analytics. Apparently they're making the coaches fill out like a personality profile, an essay. You have to write an essay.
I got
to
be honest
I mean, this is like a community college asking for your LSATs. Like, what? You're the Cleveland Browns. You're lucky that Mike McDaniel was interested and then he withdrew.
Yeah, I understand that you might want to give the players like certain aptitude tests and things like that, but the coaches have options generally. And so I don't like it, pretty funny though. Imagine having to write an essay to be an NFL head coach. Like that, we want to judge our NFL.
I don't want a coach who's a great, great guy at writing essays. Those are two different skills. Yeah. Those,
not even close to the same.
My wife likes to help kids out with their college essays. I don't want her coaching the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean,
point.
If I'm a Browns fan, I don't want my wife coaching the Cleveland
Condoleezza
Browns.
Condoleezza Rice, she probably can write a nice essay.
I'm sure. She would kill the essay and the personality test. And
they're
going to
hire a complete nerd.
Speaking of tests, though, I tweeted out the Gravedigger meme for the S2 test because S2 test was the one that flagged C.J. Stroud as not a good NFL quarterback. And everyone, they basically went out of business when he had his rookie year. Oh no, not so fast. The S2 test making a comeback.
They are still around, so shout out to them.
Okay, they hung through.
They dipped their head down.
When we return, we will do our full breakdown of the AFC Conference Championship. Coming up.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Happy Friday, Kramer.
Happy Friday.
Oh, right around the corner, the most memorable sports betting moments of 2025, Tuesday, January 27th, right here on VSiN, 1 o'clock East. This is going to be awesome. They're breaking down, kind of like the Oscars, just some crazy gambling moments. I hope for me, what's your most memorable gambling moment? For me, it has to be that Cardinals-Titans game. That was kind of the craziest finish to a game I think I've seen in a long time. With like the running the ball over the end zone and letting it drop, like just insane ending.
Well, and then that weird interception fumble into the end zone, knock us out of Survivor.
Yeah,
it also had that was like a crippling destruction of a parlay that week for me. The tail of the tape was taken down by that.
It killed a lot of tickets.
Yeah,
so that one has to be it.
You remember the bad stuff more than the good stuff, generally. Yeah.
All right, Kramer, AFC Conference Championship. What do we got?
Well, like we were just talking about in the opener, Pats, Broncos, mostly fours out there. There's a couple rogue 3.5s and a decent amount of 4.5s kind of juiced towards the 4.5. So circa at -4, totals 43. We've seen a number of stats, trends, comments, thoughts on Jared Stidham all week.
Yeah.
Sean Payton with a backup quarterback is 8-1. Just generally, Sean Payton is in that class of coaches that the game planning and scheming allows them to elevate backup quarterbacks sometimes better than they can, manage good quarterbacks. And I think also this is clearly a Sean Payton masterclass game plan game where he's going against someone that he certainly doesn't respect at a high level. And I think he just like this, he knows that what he has to bring to the table here. And what we saw last week was a piss poor game plan. I think he made some comments about how, you know, they missed the mark a little bit.
Let Bo Nix throw 46 times. Just start there.
Now, but that being said, I could see a similar, not that they're going to try to throw 46 times, but I could see their looking to use the short passing game in place of the running game.
Yeah.
So I could see the dropbacks looking like a lot, but a lot of them being screens, quick passes, misdirection with a, you know, someone squirting out to the flat. I mean, if you go watch the Stidham preseason tape, a lot of movement, getting him on the move. He climbs the pocket nicely. Meanwhile, on the other side, you have Drake May, who is kind of the week has been spent exposing him, exposing how poor he's actually playing in the postseason, exposing how poor Will Campbell is playing in the postseason.
Fumbles in his two playoff
games.
And
I even saw a big thread, Pats fans arguing with some offensive line folks. And basically the idea was like, look, Will Campbell's short arms are showing up when he goes against elite pass rushers with speed. This is a really bad matchup. Will Campbell has given up something like 10 pressures that have led to four fumbles. And so I think certainly that's a matchup you're going to look to circle. So
Benito coming off the corner.
Again, you know, Benito has disappeared in some games when going against elite left tackles. That's not the case here. And so I think Denver, while you can pick apart their defense for giving up some yards and regressing a little bit through the season, pressure is not one of the things that they've lost. And I think the pressure mixed with the fact that the Patriots have been getting a lot of Fugazi pressure.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is because they went against the Chargers offensive line and the Texans offensive line.
Two of the worst O-lines in the league.
Now they go against one of the best pass blocking units in the league, who is looking to get their starting center back. So an upgrade at the center position, potentially, assuming he's 100%. And so a lot of words to say. I think there's matchup advantages for the Denver defense against the New England offense. And there are matchup advantages for the, in my mind, for the Denver offense against the Patriots defense.
And you mentioned the Broncos center, Luke Wattenberg, full practice Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, questionable, but I imagine he's going to go. And the backup center, Alex Forsythe, who played in the divisional round, he's banged up with an ankle. So I imagine we're going to see Wattenberg out there. And I think the fact that they brought him back off IR for this, and now he's dealing with the shoulder, so maybe he's not 100%. And as a Broncos backer, I don't love the Milton Williams matchup going against a center with a bruised shoulder, but I'm just situation spot. Broncos as a home dog in the playoffs, just home dogs in general, home dogs of 4 points or more. 10-0 ATS run here in the NFL playoffs. Hard to not like him here again. The elevation is huge. You get the extra day of rest. You know, granted, the Pats have been good on the road, but this is going to be a totally different environment. And the last time we saw a home dog in the AFC Conference Championship was Denver at home catching 2.5 against the Pats. It was that noodle-armed Peyton Manning performance, but he played really sharp. And granted, he didn't have his full arm strength, went on to win the Super Bowl there against the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton. But also the Broncos pass catchers pretty banged up.
Well, shockingly, Pat Bryant,
did he clear protocol?
Checked the boxes.
Okay.
So limited Wednesday, full Thursday, full Friday. A number of the medical internet professionals pointed out that you have a situation where this is a second concussion. No one has made it back in the first week after a second.
Well, it's the playoffs. And you get Nico the extra
Collins
day.
Was in the playoffs as well. He didn't make it back.
It's true.
And so Pat Bryant making it back, you know, good for my Broncos positions, gives a lot of my anytime touchdown angles were hopefully not hopeful, but a kind of understanding that he wouldn't be there. I will tell you this. I went through a lot of the beat reporter training camp practice reports.
Yeah.
He likes throwing to Pat Bryant. Okay. Certainly they built up chemistry in the preseason and in the training camp being on the second team together. But
Troy Franklin, speed guy with a hamstring.
I can't imagine
he's limited practice all week. We'll see if he goes. I can't imagine he's getting a lot of snaps out there. Maybe they make him active, but I'd be surprised. And prime opportunity for my boy, little Jordan Humphrey, who I like in the anytime touchdown, 12-1. Stay tuned. Maybe you see him in the first any or many. I think he could have a big game. And I think because they might have trouble with the traditional run game. Again, you were all over the Milton Williams on off split and impacting the Pats run defense. Maybe it isn't a, you know, RJ Harvey McLaughlin game. Maybe they get a little creative. I do like the Marvin Mims rushing yards over. You can get that at like 1.5, 2.5 yards. I think he could break off a decent one. Again, he's going to get creative. And this is what coaches dream of. Sean Payton's like Kyle Shanahan. They love a backup quarterback because, all right, hey, this is my time as the head coach to shine with a really creative, good game plan.
Yeah, quote, "I'm not worried about Stitty. I'm worried about everyone else." Yeah, he's feeling himself. And I think we'll see how the game plan plays out. But I'm also not hyper worried about Jarrett Stidham.
What are some props?
Well, on the other side, I don't know if we mentioned it. Harold Landry being out is
that's
interesting.
Huge.
Mac Hollins also kind of a surprise. Looks like I don't know if they've officially activated him off the IR.
It sounds like he's going to go.
But they did cut someone to make room.
Yeah, they have until tomorrow, I think, 4 o'clock to officially activate him. But he was pretty active in practice, which suggests that Matt Collins will probably be out there. I still think prop I like for the Pats, I still like the booty receiving yards. I think they're way too low at 35.5. This Broncos defense is good, but they can give up some passing yards.
A little worried he might catch Sertan.
Well, even at 35.5, though, I think it's so low. He's gonna have to be involved somewhat. And you just look at Broncos and the rest advantage at home. Like, this has just been a smash spot for him. And you go to Sean Payton. You look at his stats as a dog here, as a dog with extra time to prepare. Like, that's all in Sean Payton's favor. And going back to the little Jordan Humphrey angle, that's the one guy. Again, Stidham has only played like 4 regular season games. One of his 8 career passing touchdowns has gone to little Jordan Humphrey. So I think little Jordan Humphrey has himself a game, right?
Yeah, as far as props that I like, the Jarrett Stidham rushing yards, as a member of the Broncos, 10 carries, 92 yards and a touchdown in the preseason.
He's not as good of a runner as Bo Nix, but I don't think it's a massive drop off. I still think they're going to move the pocket a little bit with it.
I think we might find out he's like, again, I watched a lot of his highlights and preseason stuff. I think he climbs the pocket better than Bo Nix. So yeah, rushing yards are going to be there. I think, like I said, a lot of short passes, his attempts is 32.5, completions is 19.5. And then you mentioned the RJ Harvey, under, or you were at least fading the run defense. The only running back to get over his total versus the Patriots and with Milton Williams healthy was Sean Tucker.
Really?
Because he was a backup and the number was incredibly low.
So they've
been pretty dominant. We're going to fade a Harvey. And then, like you mentioned, we're spraying the anytime touchdown market. Yeah. Tight ends, Evan Engram, Adam Trautman, Nate Atkins. Give me all of them. They're all 5-1 or more. It's insane.
No. And again, with the pass catchers banged up, with Troy Franklin expected to be out, maybe they put Gonzalez there on Sutton, creating some opportunities. We'll talk more TDs. First, any and many coming up. Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN. Sean Sackett, Money Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Just digging into some Circa offering some fun extra props this week.
Oh, yes. Got a bunch of those loaded up. Hey, if you're looking to get down on props, it is Championship Sunday on PropheticX. From SGPs, player props, Super Bowl futures, much more. PropheticX has everything you need. Best part is available in 40 plus states, including California. Don't forget to take advantage of PropheticX's 20% purchase match. Download PropheticX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSiN to get started today to get that 20% match up to $100 in bonus cash. PropheticX, promo code VSIN. Kramer, you are the first touchdown king. You have the honors. What are you doing in your first touchdown for conference championship weekend?
So much like we all remember a couple of years back, I had a vision. that Kyle Juszczyk would have the first reception in the Super Bowl. And I even told you how it was going to happen.
Yes.
Play action to the left with a little waggle leak out to the right. I think Sean Payton is going to have some very tricky misdirection screen plays for this Patriots defense, especially if they're going to try to blitz. So we had to circle up the other tight ends and figure out which one do we like the most, because I like them all. I love Evan Engram. I love Adam Trautman. But Nate Atkins is 100-1. He had a first read target last week. That was his catch. That means what, Sean? Designed play for him. I only expect that to go up with the backup quarterback Jared Stidham in. And I do expect them to pass out of some heavy personnel. That's kind of one of the staples of Sean Payton when he's getting extra sneaky. And so Nate Atkins, 100-1, first touchdown in the Broncos and Patriots game. And yeah, you cash that Kyle Juszczyk first reception mention as well.
Yeah, I like Atkins. He's on my list as well for the Broncos game. 100-1, great price there. I'll head over to the Seattle Rams game. Give me a Cooper Kupp first touchdown, 16-1. Just got down here over on the Circa. He's clearly got a chip on his shoulder. You get the revenge game narrative. And it's clear these last couple of games, Sam Darnold and the offense clearly trust him. He's get some red zone looks. And, you know, I think they want to get him in the end zone against the Rams. There's something there. Him getting in the end zone first, I love it. He's good for the anytime as well. But, yeah. First touchdown, 16-1. Cooper Kupp, he actually led the team in receiving yards. Now, certainly a weird game script with the blowout there, but I still think that he's going to get a heavy dose of looks. I like his over receiving yards as well, but first touchdown, Cooper Kupp, 16-1.
And I will just continue on Cooper Kupp because he's my anytime at plus 290. And I'll also be joining you on the first touchdown. It is revenge game number three. He's yet to score in one of the previous two revenge games, but since week 13, Sean, not only does he lead the team in red zone opportunities over JSN, but he led the team in first read targets last week as well. And I think if you're, you know, what happened the last two times the Rams played the Seahawks, JSN had pretty good games both times. If there's any sort of concerted effort to take JSN out of the game, it's only going to increase the amount of times Cooper Kupp gets the play dialed up for him. So plus 290. A revenge strikes in here, and I did enjoy his, I don't know if you saw his press conference talking about how much he loves to block and, you know, how they do their blocking camp in trimesters. I think he was trying to make like a grind so hard comment. and also what I like about him, he's a great athlete to show your kids in terms of how to play the game right. You never see him get up and shoot the arrow. He never shoots the gun. He never does the elephant trunk thing or whatever the Bills have been doing lately.
That was the funniest was John Morant. When they got in trouble for the gun.
Oh no.
Then he switched to a grenade. He since has done like bazooka. If you watch it,
does he not think that's a gun?
Well, again, he hasn't gotten fined, I don't think, for the bazooka yet.
It's toy. It's a Nerf bazooka, right?
Well,
toy
guns. Again, it's a BB bazooka gun. I don't know.
I just see
a guy getting in a stance to launch a rocket launcher. It's just an all-time great troll of the rules and celebration. Yeah,
it's like when guys have to go to rehab for being addicted to porn.
Yeah.
He's going to go to rehab for being addicted to play guns.
Celebrations. And I support the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment should cover gun related celebrations, right?
I mean,
one of the founding fathers knew that John Morant couldn't celebrate with the bazooka.
And it feels even more offensive that we've taken the bow and arrow out of the situation.
Yeah, that's natural hunting.
Yeah, paying homage to the original rightful landowners.
Kramer, I'll stick in the Seattle game. AJ Barner, plus 185 on the screen. It's like 210 over 2-1 here at the Circa. AJ Barner is their guy in the red zone. Rams aren't particularly strong to the tight end. They've given up 7 touchdowns to the tight end. Barner had one last game against them, but really just look at the red zone targets. I mean, you would think JSN, he's their guy. He's the passing weapon. He's only has one more red zone target than AJ Barner. AJ Barner is 16 so far this season. JSN 17. So I think JSN can, to your point, maybe they go out of their way to focus on JSN, but I like the other guys. I like Barner. I like Kupp. I think those are the guys who are getting in the end zone.
And something to note with this, and we'll talk about it more later, but another activation, Elijah Arroyo is back.
And he's interesting. And one more thing, Charbonnet was kind of their goal line back. I know Kenneth Walker's going to get a ton of work. It's certainly priced in. His yardage is like 85 and a half. I think you're going to see a heavy dose of him, but Charbonnet was the guy they like to give the ball to inside the five. So wouldn't be, maybe they call a couple more pass plays. Barner getting involved, I definitely could see.
George Halani is who people are speculating could be that. But I got to be honest. I think they're just going to not get cute. What they said this week was basically, yeah, we're not going to get cute. We like Kenneth Walker to be the bell cow. Don't worry about it. So, all right.
And Kenneth Walker's a dog. I know if you played fantasy football, you're probably annoyed if you drafted Kenneth Walker because Charbonnet got all those. And it was a good balance between the two. And Charbonnet got all the touchdowns, or at least the lion's share there.
But Walker's been getting some more carries down the stretch.
Walker looked great in that 49ers.
And great punt. He is a dog. K9.
K9.
All right, my two touchdowns. Let's
see those nice TDs.
Let's just head back to the Broncos game where all the fun touchdown props are. I was shocked to find Evan Engram at 80-1 for two touchdowns. Again, it feels like an other guy situation, and I have lots more to say about Evan Engram. What we'll talk later about ladders, maybe leading the weekend in yards. If you watch the preseason game with Jared Stidham against the Cardinals, nice little boot action rollout hits Evan Engram in a patented kind of crosser there. Evan Engram goes for 58 yards. And so I love the idea. And Evan Engram is in the mix in the red zone targets along with everyone else. So we're going to fire Evan Engram, former Giant, two touchdowns here in the Joker role. And I didn't even mention it, but Sean Payton, lots of pictures surfacing about him with him talking to one of his players, AKA Evan Engram. I think that can only mean positive things. So two touchdowns, Evan Engram, 80-1.
I mean, I mentioned it in the earlier segment, but Lil Jordan Humphrey is my guy here on Conference Championship Sunday. Yeah, why not two touchdowns? I got a nice chunk of him at 12-1 anytime. I think two touchdowns at 150-1, especially if Troy Franklin's not going to be getting many snaps. And Stidham, that's the only guy Stidham has completed a touchdown pass to in his entire career that's on the roster. I think that's got to matter for something. And Lil Jordan Humphrey was getting used last week, Ryan. I think this is crazy that his two touchdowns is 150-1. His anytime is 12-1. He had a touchdown last game. I don't think it's crazy that he's going to be a part of this game plan against the Pats.
Yeah, so again, to recap. Anytime touchdowns in that game, they're going off script here. Anytime touchdowns I like in that game, this Jordan Humphrey one, crazy price. But you also can get Atkins at 20-1. You can get Troutman at 10-1.
So we need like six Broncos touchdowns.
You need one with these prices. Yeah,
seriously.
I mean, I got Engram down at the window at 575.
That's crazy.
My goodness. Again, I'm overweight on Broncos anytime. If the Broncos, here's what I'll say. If Jared Stidham throws three touchdowns,
look out.
I better be cashing something.
Well, I mean, Sutton, I guess, is where we're not covered.
No. Just put him to the side. Put him, Christian Gonzalez will take.
Do you have a Nate Atkins anytime, right?
10-1, or no, 20-1, yeah.
That's crazy, because again, gotten red zone looks.
I would be so mad at myself if I played the 100-1 and didn't sprinkle the 20-1 and he scores second. That would just be heartbreaking.
Well, and again, when we talk about first touchdowns coming up, I don't actually have a Lil Jordan Humphrey first touchdown because if he hits the first touchdown, I don't care. I got enough on the anytime to be perfectly happy, gambling gods, and it activates the two touchdowns. So I don't need extra Lil Jordan Humphrey anytime. I'll be first touchdown. I'm happy with the anytime, and I'm happy with the sweat that would be activated with the two touchdowns.
Now that you're mentioning it, though, it is 50-1.
He's 50-1?
I'm seeing a 50-1 option.
All right. Well, maybe. what could hurt? A little more slice of pizza. Jordan Humphrey. When we return, we're going to get our early look, breaking down the next coach odds. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sackman, Money Green, with my partner of picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Happy Friday, Kramer.
And once again, happy Friday.
Thank you.
It was a little repetitive. Going back to the well.
No, I like wishing you a happy Friday, okay. And it would be a happy summer if you win this, the Las Vegas World Soccer Championship giveaway. This is an awesome package they're giving away. World-class Vegas experience. You get the two-night stay, cabana with the $500 credit, food and beverage credit, round of celebratory cocktails, and Legacy Club limo to and from the airport. This is why Circa is the best. And that would be a fun time to post up and watch some world soccer, Ryan, at Stadium Swim. Going to be really hot, and you just chill in your cabana, chill in the pool.
Great spot to watch soccer.
Great place to watch some world soccer. And, of course, you can enter today at CircaLasVegas.com. CircaLasVegas.com. Kramer, we got some next head coach odds. Fun market to take a crack at here.
I mean, again, it's kind of surprising we still have opportunity. Who do you want to start with?
Oh, let's start with the Bills. Bills are in the news.
Yeah, Buffalo making a lot of news. Seems like the general consensus is everyone hates ownership and Brandon Bean. So, well, what could possibly go wrong? We have Brian Daboll sitting in the catbird seat. Of course, we all know he had his best 2 years as an offensive coach with Josh Allen. And we've since learned this year with Jackson Dart that he can really love his quarterback. After that, we have Kubiak 340, Brady 360, which is wild. Phillip Rivers 5-1. And then a bunch of kind of, are these guys really in the mix? Anthony Lynn, I think it's a, you know, maybe just a ceremonial interview. Mike
Tomlin, I don't, Tomlin at 13-1. It seems pretty clear he's not going to coach this year.
I believe the reports that he's never coaching again.
That certainly could be possible. He's got some off the field rumors swirling around. He could land in a TV job, enjoy that, and not come back, or wait out the 2 years on his contract so that he doesn't have to give up trade assets. Like, if I'm Tomlin, I wait the full 2 years because you don't want to go to a team that's going to have to give up picks to have you as the head coach.
Although it worked fine for the Broncos.
That's true. It did.
Who are paying Russell Wilson more than
the highest paid guy on their team.
They're paying him more than the entire offensive skill group put together.
Crazy. Now, Davis Webb at plus 750. Kind of interesting. It would be kind of a out of the nowhere hire, but as they've mentioned, Josh Allen is going to be involved in the hiring process and he's good buddies with Davis Webb. Is that worth taking a sprinkle at plus 750?
I was going to say, right? I don't think it's out of left field at all. He was there for the good years with Dable. He was the QB coach when, he was playing still, but if you remember, he was in a weird, like future quarterback coach, backup quarterback role. Dable even brought him to the Giants where it was the same thing. And he gave him that token start where he threw the only Kenny Galladay touchdown as a member of the New York Football Giants. And so I think he's one of those like sexy offensive minds that will eventually be a coach. And so does it feel early? Does it feel like what the Bills need is someone who has no experience being a head coach and just an offensive mind? I don't know if that would make me stoked if I was, and also I don't know if I want my quarterback picking the head coach.
Well, if it's Josh Allen, Ryan,
he can be part of the process where you talk to the coach, but he shouldn't be involved in the decision making.
It does, it does seem a little odd.
AAU culture leaking into the NFL.
But Dable being the favorite, if I'm a Bills fan, I guess they sell it as, "Hey, we had a lot of success offensively with Brian Dable as the OC with Josh Allen." Maybe that's what we need, but Brian Dable to me was not a good head coach. He was a good offensive coordinator when he had Josh Allen, sure, but I don't know if I would be excited about him as a head coach.
To me, you know, I know it just happened. I know he's not on the board, the odds board, but the Mike McDaniel information is more interesting in terms of an offensive mind. Also ran a team, seemed to not have the team quit. I mean, I guess maybe similar to Dable. I think the other concerning thing about Dable is the exact problems of the team are going to be the same. Dable failed to understand how to operate a defense or let a defensive coordinator operate a defense. Didn't know what characteristics he needed in that coach. Wink Martindale ran him out of town. So I'd be a little worried that the same problems will exist if the roster doesn't get better. And that's, so yeah, I mean, if I'm betting on this, I don't even know how to proceed. I think it's probably, it sounds like it's going to be Dable. I think like if
Phillip Rivers is crazy,
if Josh Allen has his say, like they're saying, and the owner really is like the way the owner's thinking right now, it's a nostalgia play. He thinks the roster's good enough. He just wants someone that can relate better with his quarterback. And so how is that not Brian Day? You run through the scenarios and it's hard to imagine this owner hiring anyone else. Mike McDaniel, again, is kind of a weird a shocking option. He doesn't fit culturally, it feels.
He doesn't seem like a cold weather head coach. Like him Dable's being the also, OC in LA made total sense.
Dable's also from Western New York. Like he's from the area. And yeah, so there's that element part of too.
As far as gambling odds, take a sprinkle on Mike McCarthy at 13-1. I don't think that's crazy. He has a ton of experience. He's won a ton of games in the regular season.
Watches a lot of film, as he's told us before.
As he told us and then admitted that he was kind of lying about it. But, I mean, Mike McCarthy at 13-1, I haven't really seen him be dismissed. Joe Brady seems like the obvious idea, but Joe Brady, if they were going to hire Joe Brady, wouldn't they have already hired him?
Yeah, that doesn't
seem like if you were going to just promote your OC instead.
Also, that's you admitting that things were going well. Like, well, it's a weird thing to do.
But the Bills ownership was talking both sides of their mouth. He said they fired McDermott because of how the game against the Broncos ended. But then they also said they lost because of those calls.
Now, I do think, you know, if I'm looking at a longer shot, the LaFleur Rams OC LaFleur is always like that.
Yeah.
As far as an offensive mind, if you are going to go that route and you want to try to hit a home run with the next guy, you know, maybe it's something like that. But, you know, I just Clint Kubiak too fits that bill. It just doesn't seem like they're looking for the sharpest move. It looks like they're looking for a comfort food for their quarterback.
What about the next Steelers head coach? I feel like I haven't heard a ton of buzz. Shula looks to be the favorite, then McDermott, then Mike McCarthy. You got Flores kicking around in there. Flores, I could kind of see. He seems like a hard-nosed guy that brings a defensive-minded background, which it feels like the Steelers are probably looking for a defensive-minded head coach.
Yeah, again, I think I'm going to go off the board here because I think what I would be looking for, they just conducted an interview with Weaver, former DC.
Anthony Weaver.
Which that fits the mold of what the Steelers have hired in the past.
They kind of go off the board.
Up-and-coming guy.
Yeah.
A defensive-minded guy, someone that is highly regarded in NFL circles as a future head coach, which he is. I think there's a chance the Giants hire him as a DC if he doesn't get a head coaching job. Although I'm not sure he's the first choice, and so I'd almost rather go, you know, find a long odds on someone like that and take the shot because it doesn't. The Steelers would be going so far out of character to bring in a retread. It's just not what, I mean, I know they haven't done it a ton, so it's hard to evaluate, but I get the sense they're going to do something similar to what they did last
Shula time. Shula's the favorite, but I certainly would not be playing the chalk there though.
Similar to Weaver. You know, you're getting one of the sharp defensive minds, young. It allows you to hit on something that isn't seen yet. And so that's why I think, you know, when you're successful, you have a coach for 20 years. But yeah, I think Weaver or Shuler, I mean, it's probably going to be one of those guys.
What about the Raiders, Ryan? Clint Kubiak is the odds-on favorite. This is where I would take some dart throws. This Raiders organization in general seems pretty lost. I mean, I'm seeing you can get some really long shot odds on a guy like, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Nate Shilasi.
That's the Iowa State OC or whatever?
I think he's currently, what is he doing? He's the pass game coordinator for the Rams.
Was thinking someone else. I was having a conversation.
No, he was the OC for Iowa State. Then last couple of years, he was assistant passing game specialist for the Rams and then passing game coordinator this year for the Rams. I think he could be a kind of a true up and coming. He fit. If Brady likes him, I could see them talking. And a guy, your number one pick overall, almost certainly taking Mendoza. You want a guy who knows the passing game, probably a young guy. I think him as a long shot play is pretty fun.
Yeah, I wonder what they'll do there because
it's wide open.
They owe so much money to coaches already.
Yeah, and he's probably the cheaper option.
I do think the idea of them going young, but also like, are you at all worried, Raiders, that you're bringing in a first timer? Like, I don't know if that's what Brady would want.
So, what do you think Brady wants? I think they want a young up and comer. Try and sell some excitement. They went retread last time with Pete Carroll. Hey, this guy's going to raise the floor. And then the bottom completely fell out. I think they're going opposite. I think they're going to go young, cute, off the board.
I don't have a good play here, but I'm with you. It does seem like it would be
Nate
offense.
Shalasi, long shot. I think you can get Shop Ryan can find like maybe a 40-1. When we return, CJ Sullivan, conference championship ladders.